This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Melissa Idris and Tan Chung Han. The U.S. Federal Open Market Committee, or FOMC, released minutes from its March meeting. Expectations are that the economy will strengthen and inflation will rise in coming months. The Fed also plans to raise interest rates faster. Now, on the line is Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank in Singapore. Good morning, Vishnu. I want to begin with those signals coming out from the Federal Reserve. How are you reading it?
Well, I think a lot of that signal was already priced in. I think markets had anticipated that the March minutes would be somewhat more upbeat than the December minutes by virtue of the tax bill that had been passed after the December minutes or the December meeting. And we also want to consider that there has been a considerable pickup in CPI seen coming through as the telco-related disinflation faded into Q1. So some of that upbeat, I think, aspects of those minutes have come through already. And we saw the reaction initially at the FOMC meeting itself, whereas the minutes are turning out to be somewhat stale at this point, primarily because between the meeting and the minutes released yesterday, what has come through a bit more emphatically at some of the Fed speakers is that they are watching how the trade tensions, the global trade tensions and those risks evolve. So the point is, the average, if we look at the dot plot, the average rate hike expectations went up, but it was not enough to nudge the median over to say we'll have 4 rate hikes, not 3 this year. And at the margin, incrementally the Fed has turned more cautious since the last meeting. So I think the cards being dealt have been reordered somewhat.
Now, Vishnu Han here. So in the lead up to this revelation from the Fed, i.e. their minutes, right, there's been plenty of talk about how it's either 3 or 4, right? That's the number of U.S. rate hikes for this year. But given what you pointed out, how these global trade tensions could evolve, geopolitical risks, etc., would we have to start considering perhaps 2 and not 3? Is that even on the radar at all?
I think to some extent, the risks, and to use a very wanky central bank speak, the risks become more symmetric. So yes, you are right. I think from being skewed to either 3, so which is the base case, or maybe more, now they probably have to take a more even look at it and say, hang on, if push comes to shove and the worst case scenario plays out, they might have to then pull back and say, we're only doing 2 this year. In particular, I think if the U.S.-China tariffs hit them hard, because we bear in mind that it's going to hit the farm sector hard if China does implement those tariff imposition on soybeans and things like aircrafts and autos. So I think they'll bear this in mind very acutely.
Vishnu, Sharad here again. The question, of course, with the interest rates is about growth, right? And the expectations that growth and the Fed not wanting to damage that growth. Can we cast our mind back to the time that Trump said that he wanted 3% GDP growth? Has it disappeared off the radar? People not even considering that as a possibility for the U.S.?
I think what happened was, after the tax cut plan, so on and so forth, and if I think some of them were bearing in mind, if he's able to, by some kind of miracle, accelerate a infrastructure spending plan, then you could see on an annualized basis 3% coming through. So that may not have been 3% for the full year 2018, but that's to say on a rolling 4-quarter basis, you might have gotten that. However, I think those expectations have been scaled back considerably. And even if he will not admit it, must be even by Trump, because I think China's retaliation means that they need to go back to the drawing board and recalculate what can happen. And the more important point here is it's not about hitting that 3%. We could, by fluke, by a very short stint of growth boost, hit that. But the point is about sustainability. Is the U.S. able to sustain this for 2 or 3 years running? And that's become a very dim prospect.
Hi, Vishnu, it's Melissa. Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you're watching closely how global trade tensions are evolving between the U.S. and China. But if we were to look at other kind of geopolitical risks, there's been a ratcheting out of U.S. action towards Russia and also the possible escalation of the Syrian conflict. Now, I'd like to know what you think about the impact of the Syrian conflict or this issue on global markets.
That's a very multidimensional, geopolitical risk, really. We probably want to look at the fact that, the first off knee-jerk reactions, and then we've already seen some of that, would be things like oil prices going higher, and due to some disruptions and commodity prices going higher, generally, you get this supply-side effect on inflation, so inflation will start picking up. I'm tempted to say this is going to be disruptive to growth, but really it's only going to be disruptive to risk in the first instance. It could artificially boost growth because we all know that such military action requires activity and production to be stepped up. So on a base case basis, it could step up growth for a while, but it's certainly going to create a lot more uncertainty. Risk pricing is going to go higher. And I think because of the supply side inflation impacting the ability for growth or the ability of growth to recover further, that's also going to become harder. One perverse view we could take, though, is that the U.S. could have its political capital diminished by the fact that they need to put a lot into the U.S.-Russia geopolitics. So by default, almost inadvertently, they may step down on the U.S.-China tensions. And that means that maybe the trade wars may not come to be. I think the U.S. wouldn't want to fight two wars at the same time, so to speak. So that's a perverse view, but that's perhaps the half-glass full take on what could happen from here.
Vishnu, given all the risks that you've outlined there, how would that play out for the ECB's monetary policy outlook? Because, look, we know the Eurozone is not immune to these risks. We have seen news headlines about perhaps the governments of the UK and also France also joining the conflict over there in Syria. And obviously, any kind of sanctions on Russia could have spillover effects into the European story as well. So how will all that weigh on Mario Draghi's outlook on the EU's monetary policy?
That's a very timely and apt question. I mean, yesterday we had the FOMC minutes. We also had Draghi speaking. And he had to, I think, scale back and take a different view on Novanti's slightly more hawkish views of ECB possibly moving sooner. And if we wanted to, do an analogy here, it was almost a case of two guys walking into a bread shop during closing time. And the Fed came off with the stale bread and they bought the old bread, and ECB walked off saying, you know what, we'll come back tomorrow and look at the bread. So ECB basically bought time. The Draghi has been quite upbeat on the economic outlook. I mean, he's alluded to the trade war risks, but I think he skirted it nicely by saying that it shouldn't have a major impact. So he's sticking to his normalization principle, but he's also not pre-committing. And so he's bought himself a lot of time. And chances are, by virtue of keeping all options open, I think he's got the most room to negotiate. He may not fully close down the asset purchase program because right now they're doing it at 30 billion euros a month and it's running till September. So the expectation is they completely shut it down. But in September, they could announce maybe, for argument's sake, 10 billion. And also for the rate hikes, the base case is for mid-2019. He hasn't deviated from that. He hasn't affirmed or denied it, but they could also push that out. So he's got the most options on the table.
Thank you so much. That was Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank in Singapore. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.